Welcome to News Wrap Canada, a weekly satirical wrap-up of the news reported in Canada. This is a pilot. News Wrap Canada is presented by myself, Vinnie White, a man from London that's been living here in Canada for 6 years. I've probably got too much time on my hands and a bit of a chip on my shoulder. Ultimately, my plan was to sabotage Deal or No Deal by putting some killer bees and cobras in the boxes, but once that was discovered, I decided I'd concentrate on looking at the weekly news here in Canada. Welcome to News Wrap Canada. Coming up tonight in News Wrap Canada, Monday to Friday. Mondays always feel a bit like Groundhog Day, but this Monday in Canadian news was more groundhoggy than most Mondays, as the CBC reported on the Eurozone crisis and the latest on cash-strapped Greece.
The financial world exhaled yesterday as Greece elected a pro-bailout government, one that's committed to keeping the country in the euro.
In the euro, good. Right, well, everything's sorted then. Financial shitstorm over? Happy days. Greece is happy to accept even more Eurozone money until it needs some more Eurozone money, but it's done, right? Antonos Samaras?
I will make sure that the sacrifices of the Greek people will bring the country back to prosperity.
Well, let's have an ouzo and get on with it. Let's smash some easily affordable plates. Greece can stop rioting and grab a souvlaki. Markets must have shot up like a pervert's pants when confronted with a naughty picture of Avril Lavigne. The markets rallied. Yeah?
Markets briefly rallied on the news.
Briefly? Despite a mega super duper bailout, another one from the Eurozone, well, mostly Germany, to Greece. That can't be right. Anyway, Canada's thousands of miles from the Eurozone. They probably don't know what they're talking about. I'm sure a London analyst would say there was a great rally in the markets. Yeah?
This rally, you know, if you'd overslept, you'd have missed it.
Right, okay.
But now Eurozone leaders are turning their attention back to another problem child in the bunch, Spain.
Oh, it's always someone. Ahora España, quiero muchos euros, por favor, Europa, más o menos 100 billion euros. I've never learned the Spanish for 100 billion. It's slightly above my vacation budget. Well, however Spain asked for it, they got 100 billion euros as a bailout. Well done, you. Now, it could be more money for Spain soon, as 100 billion really isn't that much, unless, you know, you're buying ice cream or something. But if you're a government, you need to do more than just buy ice cream. I mean, if I ran the government, I'd probably just buy ice cream. But it would be an absolute shitstorm of a country. Really good for dentists, though.
Ow! Why did you just take my last tooth out?
Because they're completely rotten.
Was it the ice cream?
Spain was indeed given 100 billion euros to pump into its banks. Now, it's worth remembering, so far, every single European government that has had to receive a financial bailout has been voted out of power almost straight after they got the money. Ireland, Greece and Portugal, all their governments collapsed. Knowing this, the Spanish Prime Minister decided to do something rather shrewd after receiving his 100 billion euro bailout. Straight afterwards, he said thanks very much, then pissed off on a plane to Poland to watch his team play in the football. First class. Now, speaking of world leaders, what did the Canadian charisma void say about all this Eurozone business?
Prime Minister Stephen Harper welcomed last night's Greek election result, but he warned that the problems in Europe remain severe.
And he's right, they are severe. So severe, in fact, this week Europe actually asked for money from Canada and the United States. I'm not sure exactly how it happened. It probably went something like, "Dear Mr. Harper, love what you're doing over there in Canada. Couldn't help noticing you've got much more money than everyone else. Can you redistribute the wealth, please? Love what you do. Really love the hair. A lot of us in Europe been talking about that. Can we have some money? Europe. XXX. French style." To which he replied,
"What European countries need to do and what we will be looking to see are clear commitments that they are prepared to take all of the actions, all of the necessary actions that are within their capacity to deal with these problems."
All right, Stephen Harpon. Europe wants euros, not advice, not a lecture. That advice was always going to go down like a fart in a spacesuit with Europe. Europe needs money, not advice. You can't spend advice. Try paying a phone bill with advice, and you'll see it doesn't work. I tried it just the other day, actually, and it really didn't.
Hello, rip-off Canadian telephone company. How can I help you? Yeah, I'd like to pay my bill, please. Okay, can I have your credit card number?
I'd like you to spend less on adverts featuring dogs and more on website development so that I can pay my bills online without your website crashing.
Yeah, I'm going to need your credit card number.
Although, if I was a website, I'd feel so sick with guilt, I'd rather crash than deliver the horrific news that is my monthly telephone bill.
Yeah, I'm still going to need a credit card number.
So, in a news conference, the European Commission president got his knickers in a knot with the advice that Stephen Harper and others had given him. He wants money, not advice.
We are not coming here to receive lessons in terms of democracy or in terms of how to handle the economy. We are extremely open and we are engaging with our partners, but we certainly are not coming here to receive lessons from nobody.
Yes, indeed. Europe is always going to beat Canada with arrogance and architecture. It's what we do. So how did Stephen Harper respond?
Harper refused to respond to Barroso's comments, calling them internal European politics. But he said he believes most of the G20 leaders agree with his position.
So he refused to respond, but then responded by saying that everyone else agrees with him anyway. You can't do that. You can't refuse to respond, then respond with a little jab. That's like saying, I'm not going to get into an immature conversation. Then immediately shouting, you're a poo-poo head, before sticking your fingers in your ears and walking out of the room to play with your toy cars. It's not right. However, I did recently become a permanent resident of this fine country of Canada, so to remain balanced...
Some observers here say Harper is right.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Monday gave way to what Monday always gives way to. Tuesday. On Tuesday, the country awoke to a sunny day with tulips waving in the wind and beavers playing in the streams. Canadian geese flapped about on the water with dappling sunlight shimmering across the surface to the land, where the same geese shit out green shit like a broken green shit vending machine. But where was Harper?
Stephen Harper is leaving the G20 summit with a coveted invitation. On the final day of meetings in Los Cabos, Mexico, Canada was asked to pull up a chair at the Trans-Pacific Partnership Talks.
Ooh, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Talks.
All right, what is that?
The U.S.-led initiative focuses on boosting trade around the Pacific Rim.
Ooh, trade around the Pacific Rim.
After Mexico was admitted to the Trans-Pacific Partnership yesterday, Canadian officials scrambled to ensure Canada wouldn't leave Los Cabos empty-handed.
What did they do? Take the bathrobes and the mini-soaps?
Confirmation came Tuesday morning that the United States and Canada had reached a deal. Canada will now join the TPP negotiations toward a free trade deal.
Cool! We, Canada, are in an exclusive club. An exclusive club. No one else is in it. It's an exclusive club.
With the United States, Chile, Australia, Peru, Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei, and Vietnam.
Exclusive club? Okay, it's not really that exclusive. But at least with all this chatter going on about Pacific Rim shenanigans, Stephen Harper left the Europeans alone and didn't offer a load of condescending advice on how to spend and save your money.
The summit yielded some satisfaction for Harper, who delivered more tough talk to European leaders.
Shut it.
Calling on them to adopt Canada's pro-growth, pro-trade approach. Harper shrugged off concerns that Canada's refusal to join an IMF bailout fund for Europe had angered European partners.
All right, Steve, concentrate on your hair, for goodness sake. What are you going to do next? Go to the European Central Bank dressed as a pig with a massive slot in your back with a massive sign that says, you lot need to learn to save? Is that what you're going to do, is it? If Europe really wants money from Canada, it needs to ban any European food being eaten in Canada until it gets the money.
Good evening, Mr. Harper, and what can I get for you this evening?
Good evening, yeah, I've had a look at the menu. Forgive me, my accent's awful, but I am Stephen Harper. Right, can I have the souvlaki, please?
I'm sorry, but that's not available this evening.
Okay, I'll have the pizza.
Not tonight, Mr. Harper.
Fish and chips.
No, we can't serve you that this evening.
All right, I'll have the pickled herring.
Is that a European dish?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Paella.
I don't think so.
Pierogies.
Not gonna happen.
Tagliatelle.
Never.
Coq au vin.
I don't think so.
What exactly do you have?
We have a nice salmon on the menu tonight.
Is it from Scotland?
F*** you!
And so Tuesday turned into Wednesday, and the CBC were reporting on what was going on in Rio. Bikinis and thongs? No, the Earth Summit.
20 years after the first Earth Summit in Brazil, world leaders are gathering again. A new environmental agreement has already been reached, and Canada's been criticized for watering it down.
Watering it down because Canada's got more fresh water than anyone else in the world. Because they watered it down because of... Oh, piss off.
The head of the United Nations brings down the gavel to officially open this Sustainable Development Summit. Political leaders now take over negotiations. The UN's Ban Ki-moon calls this summit a second chance.
And that's probably the wrong title to give it, because if you introduce the concept of a second chance, then you might introduce the concept of a third chance. And at the risk of sounding like a granola-munching, tree-hugging hippie stuck in a yoga position listening to Michael Jackson's Earth song, we've only got one chance on Earth, man. Yeah.
The world is watching to see if words will translate into action. As we know, they must,
said Ban Ki-moon, poetically and poignantly. Now, we all like a bit of verbal skill, Ban Ki-poos, but what about action? With all these political gurus and hardcore decision junkies, this deal must be a solid global conservation plan. It must have deadlines, timetables, and a list of commitments.
This deal has no deadlines, no timetables, no list of commitments.
That was my Michael Jackson? Not sure if you got that.
Quebec Premier Jean Charest is in Rio with the backing of international conservation groups to show off his plan to protect the northern boreal forest. Quebec is setting aside a forest the size of France and will develop the rest under an environmental plan.
Yes, sometimes you have to leave action to local government, and this is a great plan for Quebec to be ahead of the game on conservation. It's a massive piece of land, more valuable than the Amazon when it comes to reducing greenhouse gases, and now is going to be protected from
ultimate annihilation,
as it's ecologically known. It's going to be conserved. Well done to Jean Charest, Premier of Quebec, an all-round forward-thinking man. You might want to keep an eye on your decrepit, crumbling, useless, cancer-ridden bridges and your torch-carrying, angst-ridden, protest-obsessed students, but lovely job with your forest there. Love what you did. Jean Charest, why would you say it's important to conserve the forest?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because our economy is about natural resources. If we don't make that demonstration to the rest of the world, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we're vulnerable in markets, where the perception on our products can be criticized, and I think we want to be in the right place.
Or, to put it another way,
Charest says the federal government's increasingly hard line in international negotiations could put Canadian exports at risk of being targeted for import penalties or sanctions.
Or, to put it another way, I'll put it like this. At the moment, we're quite bad. Canada, bad. Naughty, naughty Canada, bad, bad, naughty. Rest of the world, bad, bad. Naughty, naughty, bad. Everyone, therefore, quite naughty, bad. Naughty, naughty, bad. Now, if Canada carries on being bad and everyone else doesn't, then Canada will look really bad and everyone else will look all right. And at that point, they'll go and do business with other people. And we don't want that. So, in conclusion, we need to be less bad in case everyone else finds out. And this summit really isn't helping. But Rio's so hot and lovely. Wednesday turned into Thursday, and it was another day of news about the Rio summit. But luckily, nothing about Canada being terrible when it comes to the environment. Just as well, because it didn't need any more bad press about it being a global polluter. Okay. Oh, fuck.
Canada came under attack once again at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. Today, Greenpeace slammed the Canadian government, accusing it of doing nothing to protect the Arctic as oil and fishing industries explore the area.
You know, this whole environment thing and Canada, it reminds me of my ex-girlfriend. I treated her badly and now I regret it. It seems that when you have something really great, you never really know what you have. And Canada's like my ex-girlfriend. She's beautiful and she's giving. And I suppose back then I acted like the Canadian government of today. I just didn't know what I had when I had her. Maybe I should have treated her better. Darling, could you do the shopping?
Already have, and I paid for it as always.
Good. Could you clean the toilet? And can you do it quickly?
Oh, I did that earlier, and it was a pleasure to do for you. It's my favorite job.
Yes, it was a pleasure to do, and it always will be, and you'll do it just a bit quicker next time. Listen, I sold all your jewelry, and I threw out your shoes. I thought I should tell you. I might be doing a bit more of this from now on.
Did you want me just to carry on as if nothing's happened?
Yes, please. Well, I'll be looking through lots of your things from now on and selling on anything that I like. I want to wear you down, you know, while I have you.
Sure thing, honey. Whatever you say. Do you think this relationship might be questionable?
I was going to say no, but I must admit a lot of the neighbours have said that recently. They do say I treat you really badly. Yeah, Jack next door said I was doing a terrible job with you.
Well, you know, it's just I am a 6-foot lingerie model with an off the charts IQ, and you are very short.
Yes.
I'm a rich, diverse, bold, interesting, and extraordinarily beautiful woman, and you look like a 6-car pileup where there were no survivors. I'm just saying that I think maybe you should possibly rethink the way you've been treating me.
I am a work of art. A masterpiece.
Maybe a Picasso.
A Picasso?
Honey, I'm looking at your profile right now, and I can still see two ears.
Back to the Earth Summit, and here's Kumi Naidu of Greenpeace doing his best Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We have to win in the Arctic.
We have to win in the Arctic, or I will be back. Yeah.
We have to win in the Arctic. We have to draw a line in the ice and say to the polluters, you can go no further.
I think he means you can go no further to the north, not the south, where everyone lives. We've already fucked that up. Having conservation plans for Canada is all very well. But is this campaign to stop industrial scale
ultimate annihilation
backed by relevant people?
The campaign to prevent industrial fishing and oil drilling is backed by high-profile celebrities, including Paul McCartney and Robert Redford.
Oh, I love Robert Redford. He's such a good actor. I love him.
It also has the backing of a group of Indigenous people in the North who are against the exploitation of their territory.
Yeah, whatever.
Greenpeace intends to plant a special flag created by the Girl Guides and bury a million names 4 kilometers below the ice.
All right. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Say that again.
Greenpeace intends to plant a special flag created by the Girl Guides and bury a million names 4 kilometers below the ice.
They're going to bury 4 Girl Guides 1 million kilometers below the ice. They have changed, haven't they? But it wasn't just Greenpeace. It wasn't just Robert Redford. It wasn't just Paul McCartney. It wasn't just Indigenous people of the North. It was someone else that was making waves.
Canada, it's just sad to see it sort of hand in hand with the USA on all these issues. This would be wonderful to see it going back to being a country that the rest of the world can admire.
Oh, slam there from a man that owns a carbon-emitting airline, Richard Branson. Yes, this Earth Summit is tricky for Canada. But the Environment Minister, Peter Kent, says back off.
He says Canada's been praised by other nations, including Brazil, for stopping this conference from going off the deep end and setting unrealistic goals.
Yeah, you know when Brazil, a country that clears about 12,000 square kilometres of rainforest a year, says, hey, good job with your conservation, it's an odd compliment. It's like Pol Pot high-fiving Gaddafi and saying, good job not killing anyone down there. Loved your work. Nice touch with the golden gun, by the way. Friday came along and it was the last day of the Earth Summit. The UN said it went well and achieved many goals. The activists
say the summit produced a declaration with no timetable, no money, no commitments, and no teeth.
Sounds more like a disorganized bag lady. It was Friday, and it was time for some good news, and that's something we could get. The news in Canada was actually good.
Some good news for consumers. Canada's inflation rate tumbled to its lowest level in 2 years. Last month, Canadians paid less for some electronics, cars, and clothing.
Yeah, what about gas prices?
Gas prices dropped the most.
Did they? Oh. Go on, tell us more. It was time to send a reporter out to a gas station.
At this gas station in downtown Toronto, prices are down a few cents a liter for the week. But there's skepticism the full impact of dropping crude oil prices will be felt at the pumps.
Ultimately, you're at the mercy of the gas companies, and they just basically suck you dry. If you take a look at the bottom line of the profit that the gas companies are making, then obviously they're not comparable with the prices that we're paying at the pump.
Ringo Starr there, filling up in Toronto. But he does make a good point. We are now all realising the prices at the gas station are like a North Korean regime. Wildly unpredictable, capricious and unfair. But no one seems to do anything about it.
It's totally fixed. Price goes up, not in relation to oil barrel price and long weekends, summer holidays. Jack the price because people need it.
Another Joe Blow in the know at the gas depot, I suppose. So yes, things are cheaper than they have been in years, thanks to the low interest rate. Now, let's get in the shockingly lovely CBC senior business correspondent Amanda Lang, who stopped getting one over on O'Leary for a few minutes to answer this.
Amanda, what do the inflation numbers tell us about our economy?
Well, they show that we don't have to worry about inflation for the time being. As expected, it was a decline. We're now back at June 2010 level for prices. The big reason for that is a drop in the price of oil and the price of gasoline. Now, that is a reflection of that global weakness and a reflection of fears about economic weakness here. It's a good thing for consumers, though.
Oh, a concise, intelligent answer from a sharp, well-researched woman explaining in detail what the low interest means for consumers today here in Canada. Oh, let's be honest, I fancy her. But how can we undermine and condescend her on the radio?
And you're saving at the stores too. Apparently women's clothing is down.
Yes, that would do it.
And you're saving at the stores too. Apparently women's clothing is down.
Women's clothing is down, but I was disheartened to see that meat prices are up sharply. So food actually did see some inflation in this month. So you sort of get it on one side or the other, because food and gasoline are sort of the two things that most of us don't have a lot of discretion over.
Ah, let's hear that again. And note the moment when the lovely Marcia Young realizes that Amanda Lang isn't playing ball with the whole female clothing thing.
Women's clothing is down, but I was disheartened to see that meat prices are up sharply. So food actually did see some inflation in this month.
Yes. I'm not sure what she expected. Maybe this.
And you're saving at the stores too. Apparently women's clothing is down.
I know. Like, isn't that the greatest? It's the best news ever. There are these pumps at the mall that I'm totally dying to get. And the boys would totally love me if I wore them. They think I'm pretty. I heart the economy.
You've been listening to a pilot of News Wrap Canada with me, Vinnie Whites. All inquiries, vinniewhites@gmail.com. VinnieWhite@gmail.com.